Hi, you're listening to a podcast from Frontline Youth Group. We're so glad you're here. This podcast was recorded at our weekly Frontline program. We hope it encourages you and we'd love to see you at our next event. Enjoy.
I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. Awesome. I got a question for you. Who is your favorite superhero? Shout them out. I want to hear. Jesus is your favorite superhero. I love it. Okay, that's not what I'm getting at. Like, I'm talking about the actual superheroes. Spider-Man. Who else? Wonder Woman. Yes. Who else? Batman. I don't like Batman. Okay, there's a few. I actually can't hear a lot. It's all just mumbling. But who loves a superhero movie? Who doesn't mind a superhero movie? I would say that it's one of the genres that me and my husband agree on, because we don't always agree on the same kind of movie genres, but we like to watch a superhero movie together. And I've got a favourite superhero. Who do you think it might be? Any guesses? Wonder Woman, Jesus, yes. Okay, I love those spiritual answers. Wonder Woman is my second favourite. Closely behind... And we can have that first slide, Charlotte. Classic. Superman is my favourite superhero. Any other Superman fans? None? Okay, a couple, all right. There's a reason why I like Superman. And it's because, and I'm going to reveal my age a little bit, I grew up as a kid in the 90s, okay? And I know, and I don't look it, but I did. And there was this TV show... Can we have that next slide? There was this TV show, Liam, you weren't old enough to watch this, called Lois. Who's seen an episode of this show? Okay, pretty awesome show. Like Dean Cain, Terry Hatcher. I had posters of these guys in my room. Does anyone have posters in their rooms anymore? No. Eden's like, oh, okay, sorry. All right, well, when you were a kid in the 90s, you had posters in your room. And I used to watch that show on the TV. We wouldn't stream it. We just like put it on the TV. And it was a really good show. And so I fell in love with Superman. And another reason why I love Superman, a little bit about me, is that I love Seinfeld. No one knows who Seinfeld is. And Jerry loves Seinfeld. Yes, Jono? Good. Awesome. You're with me. So there's a little bit about me. But if you know anything about superheroes, you'll know that like Superman... Quite a few of the other superheroes are not from planet Earth, are they? Do you know where Superman is from? Krypton. Superman originates from the planet Krypton. And what happens is his parents put him on a spaceship and they send him to Earth before Krypton gets destroyed. And then, Krypton is destroyed. And so he lands on Earth in, like, Kansas, and he gets adopted by his parents, and he grows up, and he discovers all his superpowers and basically goes on to save the world in a cape. That's the short of it. But there's one little issue that I have with Superman, and that is his disguise. Next slide. Because I just don't understand how... Yeah, I know, it's a little bit raunchy for Frontline, but I never could understand how Lois Lane was not able to detect that Clark Kent was Superman. She's a reporter. Like, do you see the irony of this? Anyway, so I have a little issue with, like, the lack of disguise of Superman. Anyway, moving on. I still like Superman. I still think he's pretty cool. But there's something that we have in common with Superman, and it's what I want to talk about tonight. And I want to read a prayer that Jesus prayed, and he prays this prayer right before he's arrested. And so he's praying to God, he's praying to his Father in heaven, fully knowing what's about to happen to him, knowing that he's going to be arrested, knowing that he's about to go to the cross. But he doesn't pray for himself. He actually goes and prays for his disciples. And this is what he prays, and if we can have that slide in John 17. So he's praying, he says, God, I have given to them your word. So he's talking about his disciples. I've given my disciples your word, the message that you gave me. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world and do not belong to the world, just as I am not of the world and do not belong to it. He goes on, he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And so my message tonight is not of this world. You can write that down if you are taking notes. Not of this world. And just like Superman was not of planet Earth, we're told really clearly that Jesus and his disciples are not from this world, Earth, either. And this can be a little bit mind-boggling. It can be a little bit confusing because you might be thinking, well, hang on, like, weren't the disciples born from, like, human parents in Israel, like, a really long time ago? And wasn't Jesus born, like, in a manger in Bethlehem, like, from Mary and Joseph? Like, I don't really get it. All that is true. But what Jesus is getting at is something deeper than just the physical place that he and his disciples were born. Because there is another kingdom that exists. We actually sang about that kingdom in that song, Abandoned Tonight. There's another kingdom that exists, and we can't see this kingdom. It is a heavenly kingdom, but it is very real. It is not like Krypton, because Krypton is make-believe. But this kingdom is a real one. And in John 18, in the next chapter, Jesus actually says, "My kingdom is not of this world." He says, "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." And so what we've got here is that we've got two kingdoms. We have that first slide. We've got two kingdoms here. We've got the first kingdom that is this world, and then we've got the second kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. And so let's just break this down a bit, because it's actually really important that we understand this as I get into my message. So this world, let's go there. This is like Earth, all right? We see this kingdom. We're living in this kingdom. It's called Earth. And the ruler of this kingdom is Satan. In 1 John 5:19, it says the whole world is under the control of the evil one. If we can have that first, there we are. Thanks, Charlotte. And so because Satan is the ruler of this kingdom, everything is influenced by him. Culture and the values and the morals and everything, because he is the ruler. And now it's where we're living right now. We all live in this kingdom, but it's temporary, okay? It's not forever. It is just temporary. And the main thing that I want you to know is just like Jesus and his disciples were not from this world, we also, as disciples and as followers of Christ, are not from this world. You and me, we don't belong in this kingdom. We actually are not from this kingdom. Where we are from is the next one, which is God's kingdom, okay? And so this is a heavenly kingdom. This is a kingdom that you can't see. It exists in a realm that we can't see, but it is very real. And Jesus actually once said to one of the Pharisees, "You're from below, but I'm from above. You're from this world, but I'm not from it." And so Jesus is really clear that this kingdom is heaven. And he is the ruler. Jesus is the ruler in this kingdom. Do you know that Jesus actually left the kingdom of God to come to earth when he was born and came here as a man? And when he came to earth, he didn't come to rule earth. He didn't come to rule over a mortal empire, because Satan was already the ruler here. When Jesus came, he came with the purpose and the mission to show the world who his Father was, to show the world that he was the savior of the world and that they could know God through coming to him, to point to the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus came. And so everyone that accepts that truth, everyone that believes that Jesus is a savior of the world, that comes to salvation through faith in him, we actually get to be a part of this kingdom. We become a Christian when we're adopted into the family of God and we become a new creation. And do you know that the Bible says in Philippians that we are citizens of heaven, meaning we belong in the kingdom of God. Like, that's where we belong. We're citizens of heaven. And so this is a kingdom that is forever. It is eternal. And it is our ultimate destiny. We don't live there yet, but we will one day. And so I hope this is making sense. Although we are born in this world, although we are born into the sin and the dark world that is earth, when you surrender your heart and life to Jesus, you get to change kingdoms. You get to change kingdoms. And that's where that phrase born again comes from. You ever heard that phrase born again? Because when you come to Jesus, you get born into a new kingdom. You get born into God's kingdom. And I think that is pretty cool and amazing. And I hope that kind of sinks in. And so as believers, although we're physically present in this world, although we live in this world, we're actually not part of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. We don't belong to it. And that's what Jesus was praying about. And as I was thinking about this whole, you know, this world and, you know, God's kingdom, I kind of got a little bit sad because there's a problem with this world that we're living in right now. And I don't know if you've noticed, but it's getting darker and it's getting more lost and it's getting more broken. And as someone who is a little bit older, just a little bit, and who has been around for just a little bit longer, I can see that things are getting darker and more broken. And people are getting more and more further away. And I'd probably sound like your mum, don't I? And your dad and your grandma. Oh, what's this world coming to? Like, does anyone's parents say that? A few, yeah. Please don't lump me in with them. But it's not surprising when you know that the ruler of this world is Satan. And sometimes that can feel heavy. Sometimes we can feel a heaviness because we're in this world and it's getting darker. And it can feel heavy. And I don't know whether some of you feel that, but don't be discouraged by that heaviness. Because, you know, if you're feeling that heaviness, you know what it means? It means that you're actually seeing things through God's eyes. It means that your heart is breaking for the things that breaks God. It means that you're actually spiritually tuned in. And, you know, I look at the stuff that your generation has to deal with. Like, I look at, I guess, the state of the world now compared to when I was a teenager. And it's hard. Like, it's hard. I don't know how I would go being a Christian, like, now. And so I actually want to say to every single young person that is here tonight, like, I want to high five you and say good on you. Like, thank you. Like, good on you. I applaud you for being here tonight, for making the choice to come to Frontline tonight. Do you know when you come to Frontline or you go to church, Frontline Church on a Sunday morning, or you go to the Bible study, or you go to a house night, or you go to a camp, do you know that's not insignificant? Do you know that's not nothing? Do you know that's not a small thing? Do you know that whenever you put yourself in a place where you want to grow your faith, where you actually put yourself under God's word and allow it to like be implanted into you, when you actually lift up the name of Jesus, when you worship him with others, when you actually like stand in his presence and confess your love to him, you are actually building blocks in your life that is going to enable you to stand up strong as an image bearer in this dark world. And so it is important that you keep making good choices. And you made a good choice coming to youth tonight. Keep making those good choices. Yes, it might be hard to live in this world, but when you keep making good choices, it is so possible. And so, like, high five the person next to you and say, yes, good on you for being here, because you are awesome. And so tonight, I want to talk to you guys about how do we live in this world, but not be part of it. Like, how do we live in this dark world that Satan rules? How do we do that, like practically? How did Superman do it? I mean, he had a cape and the glasses, but that's actually pretty lame, so actually let's not worry about him. But how do we be image bearers, right? That's your theme, to like be a mirror and to be an image bearer of Jesus. How do you do that? How do you reflect the glory of God to this broken and lost generation? Well, I got three things for you. And the first thing is this: know your identity. Know your identity. Let me ask you, how do you see yourself? Through what lens do you see yourself through? If we've got two kingdoms, if we've got the kingdom of God and we've got the kingdom of Satan, it means that there's two lenses. It means that we can either see ourselves through the way God sees us, or we can see ourselves through the way the world sees us, or the world tells us. We can see ourselves through the eyes of our Creator and what the Word of God says about us, or we can see ourselves through the eyes of this broken world and what it tells us we are. Now, I could stand up here all night long and tell you that your identity, that who you are, is wrapped up in your amazing Creator, in a God who loves you so much, in a God that chose to make you in His own image, who made you fearfully and wonderfully, who made you and made no mistakes when he made you, who made you and said, hey, there's my masterpiece, there is my workmanship, who made you with plans to prosper you, who made you because your worth and your value was so great that Jesus came and left God's kingdom and came to earth to redeem you and to buy you back so that you could have relationship with God. That is how much you are valued. And I could stand up here all night and tell you that forever. But at the end of the day, you have to choose about how you see yourself. And you have to choose what to believe. Whether you believe God and his word about you or what this dark and fallen and broken world says about you. What lens are you going to see yourself through? Because how you see yourself is going to affect how you live in this world and not be part of it. You know, we need to be secure and confident in God, not be arrogant. I'm not talking about being arrogant, okay? I'm talking about having a security and a confidence in who God says that we are. And so we need that because the world is going to throw stuff at us. Right? The world throws lies and the world throws confusion and it throws half-truths and it throws wokeness and it throws pressure and it throws comparison and it throws all this stuff at us constantly. And I face it, and so I know you guys face it. It throws cultural expectations and unrealistic expectations. And when you have a security in God, when you know your identity, when you know and believe what God says about you, that stuff gets thrown at you, but it doesn't stick. When the world throws that stuff at you and you have a security in your identity, you're like Teflon. It just like slides right off. And it is so important that if we're going to live in this world and not be part of it, that we have an identity in God and we have a security and a strength of character to know, I know what God says about me. You know what? The world says that that's what I am, but I don't believe that. That's not what my Bible says. That's not what I know God says about me. I'm not going to believe that. I know that I'm a daughter of the King of Kings. I know that I'm a son of the God Almighty. You know, I read this verse before. In 1 John 5:19, it says, we know that we are children of God. We know. We're supposed to know it. We're supposed to know it in our heads and in our minds. We're supposed to know it in our hearts. Do you know that you are a child of God, that you are God's precious and beloved masterpiece? Can you declare that confidently about yourself? Does that truth trump every other thing that the world says about who you are? And if we go back to our superheroes, we look at all of them, and there's so many of them. They've got different like strengths and abilities, right? So Wonder Woman, she's got the lasso of... You guys suck about truth. Thank you. Lasso of truth. The Flash, he's really fast. Thank you. Superman's really Man of Steel. Okay, good. You're getting there. And so they've got all these different strengths and abilities, right? They're different. Do you know that as God's children and as God's image bearers, that you have different God-given strengths and abilities and talents? And do you know that that forms your identity in God? Do you know what they are? Do you know what your God-given gifts and talents and strengths and abilities are? If you don't know them, you need to. Then you need to go and pray and ask God to reveal them to you. You need to go and talk to your life group leader and say, can you help me to work this out? Because we actually need to know that. Because when we know our gifts and our strengths and our God-given abilities, it's actually going to empower us and equip us to be in the world but not be of it. And so it's really important that we know that stuff. So that's the first thing, know your identity. The second thing is know your mission. Superheroes, they have a pretty clear mission, don't they? What is it? Save the world from the bad guys. That is their mission. Did you know this? I just actually found this out, that Superman's official mission statement got changed in 2021. Anyone know that? Anyone know what his mission statement is? No one? I didn't know either, and I like Superman. Truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. Not bad. Kind of catchy. Truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. That is Superman's official mission statement. Now, our mission is not to save the world, because only Jesus can do that. He's the Savior of the world. But as disciples of the Savior, we have a mission. Do you know what your mission is? Do you know what your mission is? I'll tell you what it is. Your mission is to be light in the darkness. In Ephesians, it says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. That means live as children of the light. And then 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5 says, you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or the darkness. Do you know what that means? It means that we're not to dabble in darkness. It means that we are to shine the light of Jesus in the dark places, but we're not actually to take part in the dark stuff. We're not to take part in the dark deeds that this world takes part in. We're to be the light in the darkness. That's part of our mission. The other part of our mission is to be set apart, is to be holy and different and righteous. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 7 says, for God has not called us to impurity, but to holiness, which is to be dedicated and set apart by behavior that pleases him, whether in public or in private. I think that is so important, that last little bit, whether in public or in private. Do you know it's our mission to be holy and righteous just as much in private as it is in front of other people? Did you know that? Sometimes we can get caught up thinking that we've just got to like look like we're doing the right thing, but that's not what it's about. It's actually about being authentically holy and righteous and set apart, whether people are around or not. You know that when you can do the right thing when no one is looking, it's going to be so much easier to do the right thing when people are looking. Do you know that the strengthening of character happens in private? Do you know that we need to practice holiness when we're on our own? And when we can do that stuff, when no one's looking, when no one's saying, oh, that's like good on you, when we're actually just doing it because we want to please God, then that's going to actually naturally outflow when we're with other people. It's going to naturally happen when we're around others. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Be set apart from the world by your godly character and your moral courage, because it is written, you shall be holy, set apart, for I am holy. Godly character and moral courage is what's going to set us apart. It's what's going to make us different from other people. And you know that if we are going to be disciples and image bearers in the world, we actually have to be different. It's not optional. It's not like, oh, I don't really feel like being different today. I think I might just like blend in with the crowd, feeling like it's a blending kind of day. We don't actually get that choice. It's not optional. Like, we're called to be different. We're called to be set apart. That's part of our mission as disciples. And then our other mission is to be image bearers. And I've already talked about that. And that's your theme. That's your theme for this term, to reflect and mirror God's character to the world. Your mission is to reflect the image and the glory of your God. And the verse up there, you read it last week, that we need to be transformed into his image. That's our mission, to be transformed, to be more like Jesus. You know that you are Jesus to your neighbor, and that you are Jesus to the friends that don't know him. We are actually called to be Jesus to a generation that doesn't know him. That's your mission. That's my mission. That's Matt's mission. That's your leader's mission. It's every single one of our mission. And so it's good to know that, but it's easy to know a mission, isn't it? Like, I know Superman's mission statement, but it's a whole other thing to live that out. Knowing something is one thing, living it out is different. So we've got to stay on mission. We got to stay on mission. How do we stay on mission? How do we stay on mission? We don't get distracted. And trust me, the world is going to distract us. And so we need our brothers and sisters in Christ to be with us. We need people in our life that are going to call us out and say, hey, like, is what you're doing, is that on mission? Like, that's like some dark stuff over there. You need to like come into the light. Hey, like, are you like, you know, is that something that's honoring God? Like, is that kind of holy behavior that you're doing? Come on, like, get on mission. Like, we need people that are going to call that out in us. We need to be people that call that out in others. We actually need to have each other's backs. And so we need to surround ourselves with other people that are on mission just like us. Look around you in this youth group. You are surrounded by other people on mission. And so be each other's biggest cheerers. Be each other's biggest helpers. When you see someone struggling, don't judge them. Love them. Help them. Say, hey, come on, let's do this together. Because isn't that what the Justice League is all about? Isn't that what the whole superhero, you know, where Batman and Wonder Woman and Flash and Superman, they all come together, all these superheroes with their different gifts and their different strengths, but they come together to fight for the one cause? The Justice League, that's what that's about. Do you know what their slogan is? Probably not, I didn't know it. What is it? It is, what is it? No one can save the world alone. Do you know, as Christians, we're not supposed to be on mission alone. We were never supposed to be on mission alone. We were supposed to do it together. And so here's another little thing. Do you want to know how you're staying on mission, like a little sign? I don't know if you can handle it because it's pretty full on. Do you want to know? Do you want to know how you know that you're staying on mission? The world will hate you. Whoa, I know. It's full on. It's a bit unfair, isn't it? It doesn't really seem right because no one wants to be hated. We want to be liked. We want to be accepted. We're obsessed with likes, aren't we? Aren't we a generation that just wants everyone to like us and like the things that we say and like the photos that we take and like what we post? Like, we want to be liked. But you know what Jesus said? He said in his prayer, the world has hated the disciples, his disciples, because they're not of the world. When the disciples lived different to the world, when the disciples didn't live like the world did, it hated them. Think of the Pharisees. The Pharisees hated the disciples because they lived different to them, because they were set apart, because they lived a different way of living. They lived a different standard and they hated them. Think about Jesus. Jesus says, if the world hated you, just remember it hated me first. You know, Jesus came to earth on mission and he stayed on mission. He didn't get distracted. He stayed on mission to the very end until the cross. But the world hated him. The world hated him. Now, I know that might feel like a bit of a downer, but don't be discouraged, okay? Don't be discouraged. Because if you're not feeling the love at school or at work or in your sporting club or, I don't know, wherever you're hanging out, if you're not feeling the love, then we actually need to be prepared for that. We actually need to be prepared that there are going to be times in life where we're not always going to be liked, where we're not always going to be popular, and we might even be hated. And that's just the reality. Like, I'm just speaking what Jesus said here. But you know what I want you guys to get? And I think that you will, because I know what Frontline is all about. When you see your Christian brother or sister, maybe that you're not friends with, but maybe that you recognize from Frontline, or maybe you recognize them from school, and you see your Christian brother or sister being hated on because they're on mission, because they're being light in darkness, because they're choosing to live set apart, because they're choosing not to dabble in the darkness. When you see someone being hated on because they are being an image bearer, you need to run to that person and you need to stand with them and say, hey, I'm here. Hey, I've got you. Hey, I don't know you necessarily, and maybe I don't have anything in common with you, and you might be older or younger, and I might not even be friends with you, but we are called as Christians to come together and stand with one another in the family of God. And so when we see the world hating our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to love them. We need to go to them and pick them up and say, I'm here with you and I love you. Let's do this together. And that is so important. And Frontline, I want you to know that. I want you to look out for when each other is being hated upon and you go to that person and you put your arm around them and you say, I'm here. Let's do this together because I love you. The world might hate us, but we're together. Do you get that? I just think that is so important. And I tell you what, that's what got me through my early years of being a Christian, because I had people that did that in my life. We've got to stand together and encourage one another. Last thing, so know your identity, know your mission. And last thing is know who you love. Know who you love. I'm not talking about boyfriends. I'm not talking about girlfriends. Relationship series is later in the term. Woohoo! I'm talking about your first true love. And maybe you didn't know this, but your first love is God, your Father in heaven. Do you know why? Because he loved you first. He loved you before anyone. He is love. And you know, one of the reasons why it's hard to live in this world but not be of it? You want to know why it's hard? You want to know why sometimes people really struggle to do so? It's because of this. It's because at times we love the world and we love the things in the world. And if we're being really honest, and if we can't be honest at Frontline on a Friday night, then where can we be honest? We love sin. We love the stuff that's bad for us. We love the stuff that is evil because sin is pleasing and it's fun and it feels good and it tempts us every day. And that's just being really real. I mean, you look at Adam and Eve. It happened with them. The fruit was pleasing and they went and ate it. And look what happened. In John 3, it talks about how people actually didn't love the light, but they chose to love the darkness. And so we know that people actually love darkness and they choose darkness. But the Bible also says really clearly in 1 John chapter 2, it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father but from the world." And so what this verse is telling us is it's telling us you can't, don't love the world. Don't love this world that Satan is the ruler of. Don't love the things of this world. Because Satan is the ruler. And you can't love God and Satan. And you might be like, oh, is that really what it's like, Nick? Well, yeah, it is. Jesus said to his disciples in chapter 6, in Matthew chapter 6, he says, you cannot serve two masters. You just can't. It just can't be done. You cannot be devoted to God and love the world at the same time. And I remember when I first became a Christian, early on in my Christian walk, and I was 17 when I became a Christian. I was in year 12 at high school. And by that stage in my life, I was pretty heavy into just the party scene. And I used to go to parties every weekend. I used to drink pretty heavily and get drunk a lot. And that was just a big part of me as a teenager. And it was kind of a paradox because I was this really nerdy girl who studied a lot and did really well at school, but then I went wild on the weekends and I partied pretty hard. And so that was me in high school. But then I gave my life to Jesus in this youth group, like standing right over there one Friday night over 20 years ago. And I got radically saved, radically. Like God totally changed my life. But I still was struggling and battling with all the worldly stuff that I love. The drinking and the partying was a big part of that. And I remember this one night we had this night here at LMC, like a youth night. It was like a combined youth night with all the other youth groups. It wasn't Youth Alive. It was called Crush. So like early 2000s. It was really cool. And we had this crush night and all these youth groups were here and we were worshipping God and it was awesome and God was moving and I had such a good night. But then I found myself out on that grassy area near the pond over there and I was crying. And I was crying because I'd had an awesome night on the Friday, but I had a party on the Saturday. And I knew that I was going to go to this party and I was probably going to get drunk and do some really stupid things as I normally did. And at this point in my walk with God, I was beginning to feel that tension. And I was beginning to understand what conviction felt like when the Holy Spirit convicts you. And so I was really upset and I was crying. And there was this youth leader. She wasn't even one of these youth leaders. She was like from another youth group. I don't even know her name. And I was crying and she said to me this thing that I will never forget. She said, "Nicole, if your right hand is causing you to sin, then cut it off." And she was like quoting Jesus from the Bible. And I was like, oh, I just wanted you to like pat me on the back and tell me it was going to be all right. Thanks for that verse, you know. It kind of really slapped me in the face, but I never forgot it. And she was so on the money. And I had a choice to make. Because I had these two loves. I had this love of drinking and the party scene with my friends where I was cool and I was popular. And I was liked, like, yeah. But then I had, like, I had this newfound love of God where I found this love, this amazing love from a God who gave me hope, and peace and purpose and value that I'd never had before. And so I had these two loves, and I had to choose because I was trying to do both and it was impossible and I couldn't, and I had to give one up. And so I gave up the drinking and the partying, and it stopped completely. And I gave up alcohol completely. I never touched the stuff ever again, and I still haven't to this day. And so that was like in my high school days. And then I went to uni, and that's where I actually really started living for Jesus. Like I actually started living out my faith. And so I'd be at uni, and I'd be at these uni gatherings, and I'd be the only person in the whole gathering that was not drinking. And I was just sipping on my lemonade. And people would come up to me and they'd be like, "What are you doing? Where's your drink?" And I would just say to them, "Well, I'm a Christian, and I was a youth leader by that stage. I'm a youth leader and I don't need that stuff." And they're like, "What?" And it used to open up these amazing conversations that I would have with people where I got to witness and I got to share my faith. And yes, I was weird, okay? Yes, I was different. Yes, I wasn't blending in like everyone else, but man, it led to some amazing opportunities. I wasn't perfect, no way. But it was just amazing how that one decision where I actually chose to give up a love that I had that was in conflict with God actually led me to be able to witness and share the gospel and to be an image bearer of Jesus. Frontline, I want to tell you that if there is a love that you have for something that's of this world, and it might be totally different to the one I had, don't try and do both. Don't try and do both. So much we try to. So much we try and justify it. But let me tell you, it can't work. It doesn't work. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When we try and do things, when we're in two minds, we're going to fall. And so don't try and love God on a Friday night and a Sunday morning and then love the worldly things during the week. Be prepared, be willing to surrender that worldly love. It might seem unimaginable at first. You might think, "I don't know how I'm going to do that." But can I tell you from experience that when you put God first, when you choose to love Him above all other things, He will fill your life so much so that you won't actually miss the thing that you used to love. And I say that, like, honestly from experience. And here's the good news, and here's what I want you to be encouraged by. You know, the more that you intentionally put yourself in a place to grow spiritually, the more that you choose to surrender yourself, and we sung about that tonight, the more you come to youth and you listen to the message and you take part in life group discussions, the more that you allow God's word to actually be implanted in your life, the more that you say, "God, I love you and I want to do things your way," the more that you actually spend time in God's presence, the more time that you spend with Him in relationship and fellowship, the more that you become like Him, right? Because the more time you spend with someone, the more you become like them, which is why it's really important that we have quality friends, because we become like the people that we hang out with. So when you're hanging out with God more and more and more and more, you're going to become like Him more and more and more. And when that happens, naturally, our love and our desire for the things of the world are going to fall off. Like, naturally, we're actually going to love the stuff of the world less and less and less, because we're going to become more like Jesus. And so my encouragement to you is just feed your love for God. Feed it. Be intentional about feeding your love for God. Grow that love for Him, because when you do that, the love of the world stuff, it just, like, it actually drops off. And it's such a powerful thing to do. So feed your love of God. Worship team, do you want to come up? We're going to close up now. And perhaps if everyone can stand, because I excuse me. I was praying about tonight, and I really felt like there are some people here tonight that actually need to respond, not to me, but to God tonight. And I know that there's been a lot in this message, but I think there are three areas where people need to respond. And you can do that where you're standing, or you can do that by actually getting some prayer. And I actually think that when we come and receive prayer and we actually step out and say, "God, you know what? I'd love some help with this, that God actually meets us in a powerful way. But perhaps if you just close your eyes for a second and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. You might be someone here who's struggling with their identity, who might be really battling with what you believe about who you are. Maybe there's some lies or there's some stuff that the world has thrown at you and it's starting to stick. It's actually starting to change how you view yourself. Maybe you've been listening and caught up in those lies about who you are. And perhaps tonight you need to respond and you actually need to get a fresh revelation of your identity in God and who and what God says about you. The second group of people is the mission people. Maybe you're someone who's just feeling a little lost and you're actually not sure. Like, am I on mission? Maybe you feel distracted. Maybe you're on mission and you're actually feeling really lonely and you're like, man, I'm living for Jesus and I'm bearing his image, but I feel alone. I feel really alone and I'm losing faith a bit. Maybe you need to respond tonight and allow God to actually encourage you in your mission, to fuel that fire. Or maybe you're that third group of people and you can relate to my story about the struggle of loving the things of this world and trying to love God at the same time and loving the darkness. Perhaps tonight there are some people here and you need to make a choice. You need to actually surrender a love that you have for the world or a worldly thing and say, God, I'm actually going to lay this at your feet. I'm actually going to choose to love you more than this other thing that I've kind of been loving too much. And so I'm just going to pray for all of you. But if that's you, and maybe you relate to all three, but if that's you tonight, can I encourage you to respond? And I think what we're going to do is we're going to pray over this side. And maybe if we can have some leaders move some chairs and have some leaders ready to pray. But let me pray for you now and then we'll move on. Father, I just thank you so much that you love each person here and that you know their hearts. You know the battles that are going on. You know the thoughts that are happening right now. Lord, I thank you that you are a God that is gracious and kind and faithful, and you're a God that wants to help us. You're not a distant God. You're not a God that is just far off in heaven, but you are here in this place, and you actually want to help your children tonight. You want to encourage us tonight. You want to give us your hand, and I just really pray that you would help us right now to just be open to you, that we would be vulnerable, that we wouldn't have pride right now. But Father God, that you would just humble us right now. And I just thank you that your promise is that when we come boldly before your throne of grace, that there is mercy and help in our time of need. Father, I pray that we would step out boldly, that we would come before your throne of grace, and that we would find help and mercy in our time of need. Father, I know that front line, that this is a group of people who are called to be image bearers, who are called to be light in darkness. And I thank you that you have given us that mandate. And so, Father, I pray that you would equip us. I pray that you would strengthen us. I pray that you would give us revelation that we are not of this world, that we are from a different world, and we are from your kingdom. And Father, I pray that we would be a people that go out into this lost and broken and dark and hurting world, shining your light and bearing your image, secure in who we are, Father God, loving you with our whole hearts. And Father, I pray that when we struggle to do that, as we do because it's life and life gets hard, I pray that we would continue to come back to you, that we would continue to say, God, I need some help, that we would continue to say, God, help me right now. And so I pray that if we need that help tonight, that we would find that in you. I pray these things in your precious name.